Welcome to the Tech Meme Ride Home for Tuesday, October 3rd, 2023. I'm Brian McCullough. Today, Snapchat has led the way, but are we going to see everybody in social media offering subscription plans soon? An interesting raise for AI investing. Satya Nadella was on the stand yesterday at the Google trial. And what's up with Threads? Has it missed its moment? Here's what you missed today in the world of tech. Sources are telling the Journal that Meta has pitched a plan to the European Union to charge European users a subscription fee to use Facebook and Instagram without ads, starting at around 10 euro per month. Quote, would people pay nearly $14 a month to use Instagram on their phones without ads? How about nearly $17 a month for Instagram plus Facebook, but on desktop? That's what Meta Platforms wants to charge Europeans for monthly subscriptions if they don't agree to let the company use their digital activity to target ads, according to a proposal the social media giant has made in recent weeks to regulators. The proposal is a gambit by Meta to navigate European Union rules that threaten to restrict its ability to show users personalized ads without first seeking user consent, jeopardizing its main source of revenue. Meta officials detailed the plan in meetings in September with its privacy regulators in Ireland and digital competition regulators in Brussels. The plan has been shared with other EU privacy regulators for their input too. Meta has told regulators it hopes to roll out the plan, which it calls SNA, or Subscription No Ads, in coming months for European users. It would give users the choice between continuing to access Instagram and Facebook free with personalized ads, or paying for versions of the services without any ads, people familiar with the proposal said. Under the plan, Meta has told regulators it would charge users roughly 10 euros a month, equivalent to about $10.50 on desktop on a Facebook or Instagram account, and roughly 6 euros for each additional linked account, the people said. On mobile devices, the price would jump to roughly 13 euros a month because Meta would factor in commissions charged by Apple and Google's app stores on in-app payments. Planning to launch a subscription option for core Meta services is a major turnaround for the company. Meta Chief Executive Mark Zuckerberg has long insisted that his core services should remain free and supported by advertising so that they can be available to people of all income levels. Privacy-conscious users in the U.S. shouldn't expect to be offered the option to pay for ad-free Instagram or Facebook soon. Meta's proposals have been pitched specifically as a way to navigate demands by EU regulators to seek consent before crunching user data to select highly personalized ads. To be sure, Zuckerberg has also said he would be open to the idea of a paid service to cope with tougher scrutiny about privacy. And earlier this year, amid a broader tech slump and a growing trend toward subscriptions from apps such as Snapchat and X, formerly Twitter, Meta introduced a paid user verification service. It isn't clear if regulators in Ireland or Brussels will deem the new plan compliant with EU laws, or whether they will insist Meta offer cheaper or even free versions with ads that aren't personalized based on a user's digital activity. One issue for regulators, some of the people familiar with the proposal said, is whether the prices Meta is proposing to charge will make the ad-free service too expensive for most people, even if they don't want to have their data used to target ads, end quote. Must be something in the water, because TikTok has also confirmed that the company is running a limited-scale test of an ad-free subscription plan of its own, but says the target market is not in the U.S. and did not share the price for doing such a thing. Quoting Variety, according to a report Monday by Android Authority, code in a new version of the TikTok app showed a new ad-free subscription tier, which was supposedly priced at $4.99 per month in the USA during this testing phase. Reached for comment, a TikTok spokesperson confirmed that the company has launched a limited-scale test of a subscription plan without ads in one market, but that it is outside the U.S. The rep declined to identify where the test is currently running or how much it costs. Note that the code surfaced by Android Authority indicates, quote, price includes VAT, or value-added tax, and the U.S. does not employ a VAT on goods or services. For now, TikTok's subscription plan is just a single market test, and the company may not move forward with the offering more widely, according to the spokesperson. TikTok, which says it has more than 1 billion monthly users, including more than 150 million in the U.S., largely relies on advertising revenue, while it also has launched shopping features in the app. TikTok is owned by China's ByteDance, and its Chinese ownership has spawned political opposition to the app in the U.S. and beyond. Other apps have adopted ad-free subscription models, including Snap, which last month said Snapchat Plus, The $4 per month subscription service that includes experimental and pre-release features had topped 5 million customers in little more than a year after its launch. Elon Musk has said he wants to introduce a new premium version of X, aka Twitter, that would eliminate all ads, but so far that hasn't come to pass. Currently, the perks of X Premium, starting at $8 a month, include the verified blue checkmark and approximately 50% fewer ads in the For You and following timelines, according to the company, end quote. Interesting raise, because another thing that everyone has thought about using AI for is to, you know, beat the market. Major hedge funds and others on Wall Street are deploying various things already, but say hello to Freck, which uses AI to let customers create their own investment strategies, which has come out of stealth with a $26.4 million investment in a Series A round, but also there was a previous seed round led by Greylock, quoting VentureBeat. The company's artificial intelligence-based investment platform has the potential to revolutionize personal finance by simplifying complex investment strategies, historically the domain of the super rich, and making them accessible to the average investor. Founder and CEO of Freck, Mo Al-Adam, told VentureBeat the startup's approach is a means to, quote, simplify the sophisticated investment products that have been traditionally only available via expensive white glove services. Al-Adam believes this could benefit the world at large beyond the confines of wealth managers and family offices. The company's flagship product, Free Direct Indexing, allows customers to create their own customized portfolios of individual stocks that track the performance of S&P indices, such as the S&P 500 or S&P Infotech. By owning individual stocks rather than buying an ETF, customers can take better advantage of tax loss harvesting, a strategy that involves selling stocks that have declined in value to offset capital gains taxes. According to Freck, direct indexing can generate up to an additional 2.11% in additional returns compared to investing in ETFs or mutual funds that track the same indices. Al-Adam says that Freck's direct indexing platform uses artificial intelligence to optimize the portfolio and minimize the tracking error, which is the difference between the performance of the portfolio and the index. The platform also allows customers to customize their portfolio by adding or removing sectors or stocks and to fund their accounts with cash or stock. Customers can also access a portfolio line of credit, which enables them to borrow up to a certain percentage of their stock holdings at a low interest rate, and a treasury account, which offers up to 5.02% on cash. Al-Adam said that Freck's direct indexing platform is different from other robo-advisors that offer tax loss harvesting, such as Wealthfront and Betterment, because it gives customers more control and customization over their passive investing. He said that Freck's platform does not require customers to determine their risk level and then assign them a predefined portfolio of ETFs and bonds, but instead lets them choose and customize the index they want to track. He also said that Freck's platform is more cost-effective as it charges a flat 0.10% fee for direct indexing compared to some robo-advisors charging 0.25% for basic index investing or a financial advisor who could charge up to 1% for direct indexing, end quote. When you go through airport security, there's one line where the TSA agent checks your ID and another line where a machine scans your bag. The same thing happens in enterprise security, but instead of passengers and luggage, it's end users and their devices. These days, most companies are pretty good at the first part of the equation, where they check user identity. But user devices can roll right through authentication without getting inspected at all. In fact, 47% of companies allow unmanaged, untrusted devices to access their data. That means an employee can log in from a laptop that has its firewall turned off and hasn't been updated in 6 months, or worse, that laptop might belong to a bad actor using employee credentials. Collide finally solves the device trust problem. Collide ensures that no device can log into your Okta-protected apps unless it passes your security checks. Plus, you can use Collide on devices without MDM, like your Linux fleet, contractor devices, and every BYOD phone and laptop in your company. Visit collide.com/ride to watch a demo and see how it all works. That's KOLIDE.com/ride, collide.com/ride. With everybody fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistance tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. I use this, and you should too. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by their 30-day money-back guarantee, so get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com. It was Sachin Nadella's turn on the stand at the U.S. versus Google trial yesterday, and he made the assertion that Google indeed cemented its search dominance via that default search deal with Apple, quoting the Journal. Testifying in a packed courtroom in Washington, Nadella endorsed the Justice Department's theory that Google, a unit of parent company Alphabet, cemented its dominance of internet search through agreements with Apple that have made Google's search engine the default on Apple's Safari web browser. Because of these default agreements, quote, you get up in the morning, you brush your teeth, and you search on Google, Nadella said. With that level of habit forming, the only way to change is by changing defaults, end quote. Nadella said Microsoft is trapped in a vicious cycle where Google uses its roughly 90% market share to continually improve its search results and bolster its bottom line, which in turn further reinforces its monopoly. The notion that there is real choice in the search engine market is, quote, bogus, Nadella said, calling Google's agreement with Apple a, quote, fantastic, simple, oligopolistic arrangement, end quote. Nadella was called as a witness by the Justice Department during the third week of the trial, which could last 10 weeks. Justice Department lawyer Adam Severt questioned Nadella for about an hour. At one point, the judge jumped in to pepper Nadella with questions about whether a startup could use innovation in artificial intelligence to wrest market share from Google. Nadella responded that Silicon Valley sees internet search as, quote, the biggest no-fly zone of all, that is, the hardest market to crack, adding that there were limits to how much artificial intelligence can reshape the market as it exists today. Quote, the distribution advantage Google has today doesn't go away, Nadella said. In fact, if anything, I worry a lot that, even in spite of my enthusiasm that there is a new angle with AI, this vicious cycle that I'm trapped in could become even more vicious because the defaults get reinforced, end quote. In public comments in the past year, Nadella has at times struck a hopeful tone about whether AI tools such as ChatGPT could transform the internet search market. Google has also pointed to such chatbots as examples of new competitors in the online search market. In his testimony Monday, Nadella suggested he may have been overly enthusiastic in his earlier comments about ChatGPT's potential. Quote, yeah, I mean, look, that's called exuberance of someone who has like 3% share that maybe will have 3.5% share, Nadella said. Nadella was cross-examined by John Schmidtlein, Google's lead trial counsel at Williams & Connolly. Schmidtlein sought to portray Bing's small market share as a direct result of Microsoft's missteps in internet search. Microsoft was caught sleeping when Google introduced Chrome, which was a far superior browser, Schmidtlein said. Seeming to nod to the point, Nadella responded, quote, Google did a good job of innovating in the browser, end quote. The FCC has fined Dish Network $150,000 for failing to move its old EchoStar 7 satellite far enough away from other satellites up in the sky. Why are you telling us this, Brian? Because it's the FCC's first ever space junk fine, something that might become a much bigger deal in the future, quoting the BBC. Space junk is made up of bits of tech that are orbiting around the Earth but are no longer in use and risk collisions. Officially called space debris, it includes things like old satellites and parts of spacecraft. The FCC said that Dish's satellite posed a potential risk to other satellites orbiting the Earth at its current altitude. Dish's EchoStar 7, which was first launched in 2002, was in geostationary orbit, which starts at 22,000 miles or 36,000 kilometers above the Earth's surface. DISH was meant to move the satellite 186 miles further from Earth, but at the end of its life in 2022, had moved it only 76 miles after it lost fuel. As satellite operations become more prevalent and the space economy accelerates, we must be certain that operators comply with their commitments, said FCC Enforcement Bureau Chief Loyan Igal. This is a breakthrough settlement, making very clear the FCC has strong enforcement authority and capability to enforce its vitally important space debris rules. The more things we have in orbit, the more risk there is of collisions causing high-speed debris, said Dr. Megan Argo, senior lecturer in astrophysics at the University of Central Lancashire. This could go on and potentially hit other satellites, causing yet more debris and potentially cause a cascade reaction, end quote. It is estimated that more than 10,000 satellites have been launched into space since the first one in 1957, with over half of them now out of use. NASA boss Bill Nelson told the BBC in July that space junk was a, quote, major problem, which has meant that the International Space Station has had to be moved out of the way of debris flying past. Even a paint chip coming in the wrong direction at orbital speed, which is 17,500 miles an hour, could hit an astronaut doing a spacewalk. That can be fatal, he said, end quote. Something, something, the movie Gravity. Finally today, The Information is reporting that Instagram is seeking to revive interest in Threads by getting creators to post more, making Threads a place for real-time updates about big events and more. Quote, one top priority is getting creators to post more often as a way of boosting the kind of content that might keep people coming back to the app. This month, Instagram, which created Threads, will hold multiple focus groups with creators in an effort to learn what would make it more appealing, said a person with direct knowledge of the situation. Instagram's partnerships department, which handles non-advertising deals with media companies and creators, has targets set around getting new creators onto Threads and retaining existing ones, the person said. Meanwhile, staffers are trying to figure out how to turn the app into a place where people can get information about big events as they are happening. Insiders have realized that people are still going to X, the app formerly known as Twitter, for real-time updates about big news and sporting events, the person with direct knowledge said. Instagram has deliberately tried to steer clear of news. Instagram head Adam Mosseri has described Threads as a less angry competitor to X, but now the company appears to want to change course somewhat. Given Threads' current trajectory, it's in danger of becoming another failed effort by Meta to expand its range of apps. Meta previously abandoned IGTV, a standalone video app, and axed its new product experimentation group, which it tasked with developing new consumer apps. Threads logged an average of 49.3 million daily active users on Android at its peak in July, according to research firm SimilarWeb. Since then, that average has fallen to 8.6 million. Instagram chief Adam Mosseri, who oversees Threads, said on a recent Ask Me Anything on Instagram that, quote, a lot of people use Threads, but they don't use it as frequently as we would like, end quote. Increasingly, it is looking to me like Threads might have missed its window. Couple of big podcast house cleaning news items for you. First of all, tomorrow's show is going to be a bit late. There's a Made by Google event happening here in New York City tomorrow at 10 a.m. and I've been invited to cover it live, so I'll be there writing up what I see and maybe hopefully some hands-on with what they announce. But then I have to get back and, you know, actually record it. So again, show will be a bit late tomorrow. And then number two, yes, the premium feed missed an episode yesterday. It should be coming through around now, but please get in touch with me if yesterday and today's episodes do not make it into your feed. There's problems that I had to fix with Supercast, but I believe they have been remedied. Talk to you tomorrow.